Well, one of the hardest tests for us may be waiting upon Yahweh. And this is what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to take a number of scriptures and take a look at those and see what it is that we need. And of course, we need to have endurance. Hebrews 10:34 talks about, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of Elohim, you may receive what was promised." So we're looking forward to a reward. We're looking forward to the promises provided, and they are provided throughout scriptures, through the scriptures, Genesis to Revelation. We're told to come out, lest we partake of the plagues. We are given a number of things that we need to be circumspect about. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, "My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Master." So there's something to do, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Master. So we are to share the word. We are to be proactive. We are not just to sit back and relax and let Yahweh take care of everything. Now we know that He will take care of everything. He takes care of us. He helps us. But he gives us His Spirit not to be inactive, but to be active, so that we will do something with it, so that we will produce the fruits of the Spirit, so that we will be active in the work, whether it be praying for the work. In fact, Matthew 9:36-38, Yahshua saying, "Seeing the people, He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.'" We see the same thing today. It says, "Therefore beseech the Master of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest." And so we need prayers and we need action. There are areas in the work that need help. And so we pray for workers for those areas. And we understand that Yahweh provides. Sometimes we have to wait, though. And of course, we've gone through a number of things here in which we've had to wait. We've had to wait a couple of years for some things to be resolved. Certain things happen, and we understand that that these things do happen. And the thing I'm thinking of is men rising up teaching perverse things so that they can have followers after them. Well, we've had to deal with that. And it took a couple of years for one instance to be resolved. Well, we waited upon Yahweh. Yahweh resolved the situation for us. But we did our part to try to help. And we were successful in the sense of overcoming that. And so we can look back to that and look forward knowing that Yahweh takes care of things, but that we also need to do our part. Hebrews 12:1-3, might want to turn there. It says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance," false doctrines, teachings, sin, which so easily entangles us, "and let us run with endurance." So not just setting back, not just taking our sweet time, but actually, doing what we can with some effort, but trusting that Yahweh's providing the energy for that. Running the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Yahshua, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the stake, despising shame, has sat down at the right hand and throne of Elohim. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And when we see a need, we can dwell on that need and become a little bit weary and lose heart. So we don't want to dwell on the negative. We want to dwell on the positive, but we also want to stay active. And as we get older, we find time passes a lot more quickly. And so we find that we don't have as much time. The perception of time goes by a lot quicker as we get older. I find this is true for myself, and as I get older, I'm sure that time will seem less and less. So there's more of an urgency, I think, as we get older. Hebrews 10:32-34 says, "But remember the former days, When after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches, tribulations, partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoner, accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourself a better possession and a lasting one. So we think about the promises. We think about what has happened. We realize that Yahweh has seen us through some very hard difficulties. And so with that, that encourages us. We don't have to dwell on it so much, but we can see how we've come past those things, and we still have our mind correct in the way of thinking along the right path, correct doctrines, these type of things. And as we went through the difficulties that we had, I remember one of the founding elders who was also suffering through that situation, he said, well, you must be really disappointed. And my response was, not so. I was actually happy that I didn't fall for these false doctrines that were being brought in. I was happy that my mind was still on Yahweh's word and understanding it correctly, not being swayed by the influence and distortion that we saw come in. But we know Peter says such things would happen. And so if we weren't ready for it, we certainly have become aware of it more so now and are more readily prepared to stop things like that from happening again. So there's benefits in it, the experiences that we have. Some of the things that we go through are for our edification. They're to build up our endurance. They are for a purpose. We are being shaped like stones being put into this living temple. And we all go through different things. And it helps us to wait upon Yahweh, because we understand at times that we cannot overcome without His help. And we need to wait for His providence, for His arrival in the situation that we're in, to help provide an escape, to help provide the need, to help provide a way out when it's a strong difficulty that we're going through. I think we may sometimes feel like Habakkuk, who saw all the evils happening in his day, but Yahweh seemed to be doing nothing about it. Habakkuk 1, 2 through 4, we've got it up on the screen here. These other scriptures, kind of the last minute this morning, I put them together, didn't have time to put them in the PowerPoint. But Habakkuk 1, 2 through 4 says, how long, O Yahweh, will I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. Today we see perversions and violence and doing away with Yahweh's laws. Even within religious circles in which it should be lifted up. It makes us wonder sometimes, why? Why would Yahweh allow things like this to happen? Why is it allowed to go on for so long? Why aren't we seeing miraculous signs today? Why isn't Yahweh punishing the wicked for their wickedness? Well, some of that actually appears to be happening in part today. Doesn't Yahweh control the weather? Earthquakes, etc. They all seem to be increasing with intensity and in frequency. But in answering the why questions, we see Yahweh's answer to Habakkuk in Habakkuk 1 and verse 5. Look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days. And if this was speaking to us today, he could just tell us, because I'm about to do something in your days. You would not believe if you were told. Well, the following verses after this are details on how Babylon was going to come in and take Judah captive, which happened as prophesied. Habakkuk had further questions, which Yahweh addressed with reassurance. Habakkuk 2:2-3. Then Yahweh answered me and said, "Record the prophecy and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. For it will certainly come, and it will not delay," even though it seems to be delayed, I think we could say. But we read of prophecies concerning the tribulation, the day of Yahweh, and other areas of Scripture. And while we may have why questions today, similar to Habakkuk's day, we can take Yahweh's responses to Habakkuk and relate it to our own time as we see the end of days approaching. We know Yahweh is going to keep his promises, even though we may feel like we're sometimes going to faint waiting for them to take place. You know, someone asked me recently, and what do you think of all the things that are going on in the world? Because it's, people are noticing. And I said, well, it's about time. And I probably shouldn't have said that. But, you know, we read the word, we see the sins in the world, we see how bad it is, we see how it's getting worse. We see the prophecies of, you know, in the days of Noah, we know that the hearts and the minds of the people were on wickedness continually, and that seems to be what's going on today. We see, as in the days of Lot, that describes perfectly what we see today. So, yeah, we see punishment coming, though we don't necessarily see the fullness of it. We may be seeing a start of it. And so that's maybe the time of Jacob's trouble that's spoken of, because it's going to affect all of us. And it's going to be more important for us, if we're going to be dealing with this in our day, to have patience and endure and wait upon Yahweh. But knowing the scriptures is going to be a help to us. Knowing what's going on is going to be a help to, not only to us, but to others, as we're able to share the word and tell people what is going on, because we will know what is going on. It's Yahweh's wrath being poured out upon the world because of the world's sins, because of their transgressions against his ways of life. And they are life, and he tells us to choose life. So we're here striving to overcome, to do his will, to stay on the straight and narrow path that leads into eternal life, because we know the promises are true. And so we're encouraged. And this message is meant to be encouraging. It's meant to help us to be alert, to think about what we're doing, to have priorities right in our life, not to be going the way of, you know, the way the world is going, because it's going to not end well for the world. Zephaniah 3:8. Therefore wait for me, declares Yahweh, for the day when I rise up as a witness. Indeed, my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out on them my indignation, all my burning anger. For all the earth will be devoured by fire of my zeal. So we know what is coming. We understand that these things are in the works ahead of us. And again, Yahweh says to wait for him. Wait for him to accomplish his will. Wait for him to work things out. Wait on him who holds everything in his hands and knows the end from the beginning. We're going to have to endure. We're going to have to be patient. We have to do so now. We may have to do more so in the future, more than maybe we think we can even handle. But Yahweh says he won't give us more than we can handle, and he does protect, he does guide, he does help us. But right now, what we're going through, in learning and understanding His Word is preparing us even now for that time ahead and the time after that. And we'll need to keep in mind what's coming afterwards, because what's coming afterwards is going to be worth everything that we could possibly go through, even death. Because we're talking about an eternity of love, joy, peace, happiness, security, no more evils, no more having to deal with people who's Yahweh? Well, everyone's going to know who Yahweh is. And they're going to be saying, let's go up to the mountain of Yahweh and learn of His ways and His path and of His laws. Why? Because people at that time will realize that they were being taught lies, that they were given filthy rags as teachings. And they're going to cast them away for the truth of Yahweh's word. And that's what we're doing right now. And it's preparing us for what's to come. But we actually look forward to the time even past the kingdom. And what that will look like, we don't fully understand. We know it's going to be great, exceedingly great. But our minds can't wrap around just how great it will be. But here Yahweh says to wait for Him. Wait for Him to accomplish His will. And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to wait upon Him. And we'll be strengthened by doing so. And who is it that will wait for Him? Of course, kind of gave that away. Zephaniah 3, 12 through 14. But I will leave among you a humble and lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of Yahweh. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong and tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths. For they will feed and lie down with no one to make them tremble. Shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice and exult in your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. And in continuing, we read in verses 15 through 17, Yahweh has taken away His judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, Yahweh, is in your midst. You will fear disaster no more. In that day it will be said to Jerusalem, do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not let your hands fall limp. Yahweh your Elohim is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in His love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. So Yahweh Himself will, we understand this is going to be Yahshua in the kingdom as King of Kings. Yahweh Himself doesn't come down until after the world is purified, after things are set up and prepared for Yahweh Himself to come down. And that's where the wiping away of tears, all tears are wiped away by Yahweh Himself. And then Yahweh and Yahshua become, they're described as the temple in New Jerusalem. So these are wonderful things that we can rely upon because the word is true. And this is certainly a faith-based understanding, belief that we have in the Bible. We understand it's true, but we could also look at the scientific proofs that, you know, the Bible has given and science has proven in the last, you know, 100 years. They wouldn't have known that necessarily before. Zephaniah 3, 18 through 20, continuing, I will gather those who grieve about the appointed feast. Now, why would people grieve about the appointed feast? They came from you, O Zion. The reproach of exile is a burden on them. Behold, I am going to deal with them at that time with all of your oppressors. I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will turn their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in. Even at that time I will gather you together. Indeed, I will give you renown and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says Yahweh. So it's those that who will submit to Yahweh, who will wait for Him. It is those who call upon the name of Yahweh who will be saved. Of course, we read that in Joel 2:32. It's interesting that those who grieve over the appointed feast will be gathered. Evidently, this is an allusion to the time of Habakkuk and the exile to Babylon when the feasts were corrupted. While the feasts today among the brethren are not corrupted, at least not here, there is grief in that so few actually observe the Feast of Tabernacles and other feasts of Yahweh. But we know that that's going to change in Zechariah 14. It talks about even Egypt. Even Egypt, if they don't come up to keep the feast, they'll be given no rain. So there's going to be still this blessing and curses that is in play in the coming kingdom. And we just did a message here recently about the commandments, past, present, and future. They transcend the ages. They're in effect. They've always been in effect. It is grievous to know people are not planning to attend the holy convocations. They're holy convocations, gatherings. But alternatively, there is joy knowing that there are those few who are. And I guess you could say we have mixed feelings about it all, but while we wait, we are to have faith that Yahweh will work these things out, even as he has promised. One of those things we've read in verse 20, Zephaniah 3:20, at that time I will bring you in, even at the time I will gather you together. Indeed, I will give you renown and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says Yahweh. And we understand that the Assyrians had dispersed Israel. We understand that Yahweh is not done with Israel, that there's going to be a remnant being brought back into the land of Israel, as promised, the promised land of Israel to, you know, this is a promise to Abraham, going all the way back to Abraham. And why was that promise given? Because he was obedient to Yahweh. Yes, he had faith. It was in combination with the works that Yahweh had laid out for him. The commandments, statutes, judgments. Genesis 26:5. They're for us today, even now. And they will be done in the future. Someone who had faith and waited for Yahweh was King David. Psalm 25:1-5. To you, O Yahweh, I lift up my soul. O my Elohim, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me know your ways, O Yahweh. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. We should be praying for these things today, and I think we are. And we've been granted. We've asked. We've knocked. And he's opened up the door for us. For you are the Elohim of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. None who wait for you will be ashamed. This is certainly an incentive to continue waiting patiently, because we know the word is true. For you, I wait all the day. This is similar to the idea of praying all day, the attitude of praying being an attitude, humble attitude, in this case, attitude of expectation of answered prayer, expectation of intervention and protection, expectation of good things to come. Even though we know we will go through a time of tribulation yet ahead of us. As Yahweh's spirit was on King David, it also came upon a man named Simeon in Luke 2:25-27. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was upright, a man was righteous and devout, and looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen Yahweh's anointed one. And he came in the spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child, Yahshua, to carry out for him the custom of the law. Continuing in verses 28-32, then he took him into his arms and blessed Yahweh and said, "Now, sovereign, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory of your people Israel." Here's a man who was given prophetic insight and who waited to see Yahshua before he died, and it was granted to him. He waited upon Yahweh. He requested this, and it was granted. We too are given prophetic insight into what is coming concerning not only the future kingdom, but also our role in that kingdom if we overcome to the end. We are waiting for this to occur, but it may not happen in our lifetime. Then again, it may. It's interesting to see the emphasis on Israel. Simeon must have had the promise concerning Israel in mind and was also waiting for them to be, you know, to be gathered and as a fulfillment as well. It does say he was looking for the consolation or the comforting of Israel. The New Century Version says he was waiting for the time when Yahweh would take away Israel's sorrow. There are a number of encouraging words concerning about waiting upon Yahweh. So we don't have to be distraught. We don't have to be weary. We don't have to be suffering in that sense when we have the hope that not only is within us, but the hope of what is to come, knowing that Yahweh is going to send his son back, knowing that that is a promise and that has yet to be fulfilled, but is going to be fulfilled. And even though the tribulation is coming, we know that there's a time ahead of that that is going to be beyond belief for the rest of the world, but we're believing in it now, and so we're preparing for that time ahead. Psalm 25 and verse 3, "Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed." In Psalm 37, 9, "For evildoers will be cut off, but for those who wait for Yahweh, they will inherit the land." You know, are we without land? We're going to inherit land. That is an expectation of children, you know, with their families. "Well, I know that this land is going to be handed down." Well, this land is going to be handed down to his people. That is a promise. It's not wrong to have a house or, you know, these type of things today, but the whole land, the whole world, that's part of the promise. Isaiah 40, 31, "Those who wait for Yahweh will gain new strength." What does that mean? New strength. Spiritual strength? Being changed into spirit beings? I think we can think of that in terms of being first fruits. We're not first fruits yet, but we look for that change to come in a twinkling of an eye that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 15 there. It says, "They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired." Do spirit beings get tired? I don't think so. "They will walk and not become weary." I think this is pointing to a future, a wonderful future. There may be end-time prophecy ingrained here when it says those who wait for Yahweh will gain new strength, as those going through the tribulation will need his protection and strength in it. And we know there's some prophecies that talk about being given a little help. And, of course, a little help from Yahweh can be a lot. Isaiah 25 and verse 9, "It will be said in that day, behold, this is our Elohim, for whom we have waited, that he might save us. This is Yahweh for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." What a beautiful picture of what's coming. Being told what we're going to be saying ahead of time. Isaiah 64 and verse 4, "For from days of old they have not heard or perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen an Elohim besides you, who acts in behalf of the one who waits for him. Are we to wait for him? Indeed, we are waiting for him. We are waiting for the promises to be brought forth. We know there's going to be some troubled times ahead, but we can wait through those difficult times, not just waiting again, but persevering, enduring, running, sharing, helping promote the word, helping people to understand, serving, all these things. Lamentations 3:25 through 26. Yahweh is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of Yahweh. You know, this might be an allusion to the Exodus, in which Moses told the people, be quiet and wait for the salvation of Yahweh to work on their behalf. And did he? Yeah, he did. And so we have that as well to look at and know that as difficult as that was for them at that time, we hear of this another great exodus on wings of an eagle. It's different than just on the wings of an eagle he brought Israel out from Egypt. Now it's on great wings of an eagle, it's described. But we know that as they went through some of the difficulties, they were also protected. Yahweh made the distinction. He showed the clean versus the unclean. He showed who were his and who were not his. He's going to do the same thing in the future. And he's doing the same thing even now with us as we come out from the world and serve him. And speaking of the salvation of Yahweh, or rather Yahweh's salvation, we know that Yahshua will return a second time in all power and glory. We are also told to wait patiently for this to take place. Luke 12:36 through 37. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open up the door for him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master will find on the alert, being alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and to have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Not only is he going to be joyful and proclaim that joy, he's going to serve. We're not worthy. And yet that's the promise that is given to us. And the Spirit that has been given to us, that has opened up our minds and our eyes and our hearts to him, cannot be taken lightly. We are not to go back into Egypt. We are not to complain against Yahweh. We are to move forward. And we are to wait upon him, because his promises are that he will take care of us. And those promises are sure. Luke 12:38 through 40. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds him so, blessed are those servants. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. So we're not sure. We're not sure when he's coming back. We do see the signs of the times, and we see things getting a bit worse in the world. So how bad can it get? Well, it might get a lot more or worse. We don't know. We know that there's certain things that have to take place. I was reading through Matthew 24 recently, and it talks about things that we're seeing right now. They're just birth pains. They're things that, you know, wars and rumors of wars. What's the what's these words being spoken, Dotart, and some of the language going back between nations, missiles being shot over the bows of other countries, other nations, perilous times. We need to be on our knees more often. We need to be coming before Yahweh more often. And certainly at the appointed times that he tells us to come before him and to worship him and to be ready not to forsake our gathering of ourselves together, as is in the habit of some, as Hebrews 10, 24, I think, talks about. So we're told to wait patiently, but we're also told to be ready. To be ready and alert means we don't slumber and sleep as the world does, but with open eyes, that is spiritual eyes. We look around, we see what's happening. We're to focus on Yahweh and what is expected of us. We are to live in what is important, both for this life and the next. We need to continue to grow and understand Yahweh better. We need to draw closer to him and his son while we wait. Matthew 25, before we go there, I was reading Matthew 24. It talks about, the birth pains and things getting rough, and he says, now don't worry about that. There's more to come. The next things to come is they'll take you. They'll put you before authorities. They'll kill you. Brother will be against brother. That is the seriousness and the trouble that is coming yet ahead. But again, if our anchor is firm, the storm won't affect us as it will others. Our trust and our waiting upon Yahweh is our lifeline. And he promises to take care of us if we will do that in the way he expects. But in Matthew 25 and verses 1 through 4, it says, the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil and flasks along with their lamps. Now these virgins can also be referred to as bridesmaids. But let's continue here in verses 5 through 9. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourself. Could the oil be that's mentioned here be understanding itself? That is the word, understanding, gaining understanding of the word by studying it. After all, what could people purchase from merchants today? Couldn't biblical resources to study with be purchased? Do they help us to understand? In many respects, yes, especially when it comes to concordances, Bible topic resources, interlinears, and the like. Let's continue here, verses 10 through 13 of Matthew 25. And while they were going away to make the purchase, a bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins, bridesmaids, also came, saying, Master, Master, open up for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert, then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. Now, there's been some discussion as to whether or not this relates to the saints, the first fruits, the bride, but they're not referred to as the bride. It actually seems to be pointing more towards the physical people coming into the kingdom with the bride. They look to be coming in as bridesmaids. And it's interesting to note that the bride has made herself ready, as the book of Revelation reveals. in Revelation 19:7, it says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready." So the bride is preparing herself. The bride is getting ready. The difference between the bridesmaids and the bride seems to be physical versus spiritual. While the bride is to be awake, it looks like all the bridesmaids actually tired and slept, even the good bridesmaids. They tired and they slept. Alternatively, we find other places in Scripture where it indicates the saints will actually grow in strength, be given help, be driven more to help those around. They'll be given alertness at the very end, not the other way around. We're not going to fall asleep. We're going to stay awake, stay alert according to what the Word says. I do believe. But in all of this, we are to wait upon Yahweh. Look forward to his son's return and the firm establishment of the kingdom. It may, however, be one of the hardest trials we'll have yet to face, especially if the tribulation comes in our lifetime. And while waiting upon Yahweh, may he grant us the endurance, strength, and alertness needed in overcoming to the end. And may we have our priorities straight. May we be doing the things that are pleasing to him. May we be attentive to the work that is at hand. Again, reading 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Master, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Master." Hallelujah.